Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. That's not how it starts. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Shut Up a Second. I'm Jackson Bailey.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Dale. I'm Dale Kingsmill. Hi. Hello.
Yay.
Woo!
Thanks for being on the show. And today's topic is... belly buttons, let's say.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a bad choice?
Well, it's locked in now.
Yeah, no going back.
Belly buttons. Yeah. Old mouths, now store lint. Thoughts.
True. The belly button is like, it's like actually pretty horrible if you think about it for too long.
Oh, it's no good. It used to be a mouth and now it's still trying to eat and all it can eat is fluff.
Yes.
And if you don't pull it out, it gets bad.
Here's a question about the internal guts of a human being that I don't know the answer to.
I'm looking forward to it.
So obviously when we have a belly button connected to our tum-tum, okay,
yes.
There's like a tube that goes from belly button to tum-tum. Mm. Yes?
Yes.
What has become of that tube now that my belly button has been snipped?
You mean the internal
what happens
tube?
To that tube?
Yeah, the internal tube. Yeah, I know that the tube that the previous umbilical tube is in a bin somewhere. The internal tube, is that still there? Where does it go?
What happens to the inside tube?
Does it liquefy?
Is it?
Do we reabsorb it? And we're like, num.
I hope that's what happens, honestly.
Yeah, me too. I love when the body reabsorbs a thing. I like reading stories about people who get stuff in them that then gets reabsorbed. You know when that happens?
No, I don't.
No, you don't get things in you. I know. Oh, I know the thing about coffee receptors. Coffee receptors? Some receptors. So the way coffee works is it doesn't give you more energy. It gums up the receptors that tell your brain it's tired.
Oh.
So if you keep drinking coffee, your brain's like, huh, we don't have enough receptors. These aren't working. So it builds more. And then you drink more coffee to gum up more receptors.
Oh, my God.
And then your body's like, well, I guess we still don't have enough. And it keeps building more and more receptors.
Corrupt.
And then you have to keep drinking more and more coffee to keep gumming them up. And that's why if you stop drinking coffee, all of a sudden you've got way more receptors than you need, all like in a chorus singing a song of how sleepy you are. eventually, if you like... stay off of coffee for long enough, your body's like, well, now we've got too many, and then it starts reabsorbing all the receptors it made.
Reabsorption.
Oh my God, it's happening.
I love it.
Wow, that's really, I mean, like, and I don't know if it's more horrible because I keep imagining these absorbers as like just as like little hungry mouths. I don't know if that's what they look like. Like, I imagine on my brain lots of little hungry mouths screaming for coffee, and that's pretty horrible. That's pretty upsetting. It's Cronenbergian. I was just going to say, do you like your belly buttons? I don't know if I like mine.
I don't
like being aware of my belly button. It's fine to exist, but I don't want to interact with it in any way if I can help it.
So you've never done that thing where you're like lying belly exposed and you have like, say, a pencil and you're like...
Oh, I've for sure done that.
Oh, Eraser side?
What?
Or sharp side?
Eraser side. I'm not a maniac.
Yeah, well, then you sounded like one when you said pencil in belly button.
No, you do the thing, you put the pencil in your belly button and then you like kind of fire it out like a missile.
Yeah.
You know?
Like one of those...
No, I absolutely have done that. I regret those choices that I made when I was there. I also regret, I very distinctly remember having a best friend when I was in like the second grade named Monty, who had an outy belly button.
Oh no,
it gets so much worse. I can remember hanging out with Monty on the playground and just trying to press his belly button back in. No. It was like really long. It was like
outy belly buttons are yucky. It's
sorry,
hard to picture.
Yeah.
Sorry, Monty.
No, I think outy don't feel gross I'm about sorry. Your outie yeah. belly button, because that's not your fault. Yeah. A doctor did that to you.
That's true.
I thought you were going to say, Dale, that Monty had an outie belly button because you had an innie one you tried to plug up like a puzzle piece.
That would be so much worse.
That was my so first thought. That's what I would do. And in fact, if I knew somebody with an outie belly button, and I might because nobody talks about it, I am going to try that.
You can't. That's
Why
horrible.
Why not?
That's too intimate.
It's a brand new intimacy move I've invented.
That is... Oh, it's like kind of like... Have
base.
You ever interlocked...
That's too many bases.
Yeah. This is... We're off the baseball field at this point. It's not even a game. Who knows what's happening?
This is intimacy chess.
I wonder if I could find any... I don't reckon anyone's ever done that. I think I'd be the first. I don't think I could find an innie belly button and an outie belly button conjoining.
Would that
like,
be something
two bits
to be
of
proud
Lego.
Of? Would you like put that on your Wikipedia page?
Yeah. My Wikipedia page should say Jackson Bailey, and it should have just one entry, and it's inventor of the... Well, I don't have a name for it yet, but...
name it before someone else does.
The innie outie spectacular. Oh no, it was bad.
Is plugging something already?
Yeah, well, we'll just call it plug. Doing a plug.
Ugh. Yeah. I feel like the word suck it should be in there somehow.
Yes.
Oh no, that is better.
What about just plug socket? Combine them. For really, what are the worst words? The worst, it's just a bad combination of sounds. Anyway, somebody mock up my Wikipedia page. Don't mention Sans Pants.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah, just the fact that I've invented this move, yeah?
Socketeering.
Oh!
Oh, that's good.
It's exploratory.
Yeah, that's excellent right there.
It is socketeering. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's great. I quite like my belly button. I'm a fan of it. I remember once doing that thing where you smack bellies with a person with Zoe, and our belly buttons made a sort of vacuum. And when we pulled away, there was like a... It was great.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah.
Ooh, my belly button, I am convinced, is slightly off-center. Like, it's just slightly more to the right than I think it should be. And I have no way of proving it, but I'm pretty confident.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Now I'm intrigued about where mine is. Sorry, I have to look at my belly button.
Just got to take a peek.
Mine's off-center, too! What have you done, Dale?
See, do you like it a bit less now?
Yes!
Because if you like your belly button less, then I'm doing God's work.
It's really... Oh, no! I did not realize that my belly... What about you, Cass? What's your belly...
I think mine's all right. I think it's centered.
Oh, that's
lucky.
But it's
bragging.
I've always been able to describe my belly button. So my belly button isn't crazy deep, but it goes deep enough that if you were to draw it, you'd just draw like black lines with a hole.
Oh, yeah.
And my hole forms like a little tree or an umbrella without a hook.
Oh,
so that's
okay.
That is the picture my belly button forms. What pictures do your belly buttons form?
Let me have a look.
I'm looking.
There's a bit of lint in mine at the moment.
Mine looks the negative space creates kind of like a dead tree or some antlers maybe, but like with one distinct stem. So probably a dead tree.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like the tree of Gondor.
I was gonna is it like Gondor?
It's the only dead tree worth referencing.
Yeah, the best tree. Yeah, okay. Dale's got a tree of Gondor.
That looks a bit like a fleur de felis. You know, fleur de felis?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, that's nice.
Yeah, that is nice. But
you
it also.
Have such fancy. Yes, it's about the holes you don't have. It's negative space.
Exactly. Yeah. But having a fleur de felis makes me feel like it's like too already a symbol. It's like, it feels like this is destiny somehow. Like,
yeah, you got to be king one day.
Yeah, exactly. Like if I went to France or whatever, they'd be like, oh, the boy with the belly button, the flutifulous belly button. You are the new king of France.
Yeah, the evil usurper is like trying to track you down by looking at everyone's belly buttons. Yeah.
Lift up your tunic.
Oh no. And I'm beheaded, but I'm saved in the end.
Reveal the ancient mouth. No.
Oh no. The monarchy flows through you, through your tummy mouth. Reveal your tum tum. Oh no, not my tum tum. I was on a podcast recently. The voice made me think of it, and we were talking about how good it would be to have goons. How good to be able to yell, seize him! Like, would that not be the absolute... Yeah, guards, seize him! Oh, my God. The absolute dream. Okay. I wish I had that. Yeah.
What is the most appealing part for you?
Well, it's being the power to have somebody seized of my command. But, well, no. Mostly it's that I imagine myself sitting Skeletor style on a throne and not getting up, and then two, like, moron henchmen's drag away the hero. I think that's what does it. Oh, and being able to scream, "You bumbling fools!" would also be really good. I think I'd appreciate that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd be too afraid that if I was speaking at all to command my henchmen, it would just turn into like an entourage of a really annoying person in like a comedy TV show where it's just like, hey, hit the tunes, and they turn it on, and I enter the room. You know, it'd be terrible. So I'd have to not speak, which is my nightmare. But then I could just be really ominous, and I only point.
That's true. A non-verbal seizure.
Yeah, that's the real power move.
That is powerful, because it's a silent room. You do the gesture, and then the next sound you hear is the person saying, no.
Yeah, exactly. You're like the villain that's brought in. I don't know if you remember this from a couple of kids' shows, but they definitely did it. It was like a trope where you had the Skeletor-style villain, but then they would bring in like a real villain down the track to like...
Like Lord Zedd, and then later Ivan Ooze.
Yes, exactly. Or I forget the names of any of them, but in the TV show Ace Lightning, there was the skeleton wizard, and then there was an octopus man who was a Ferris wheel. I know that sounded like my brain melted as I said that sentence.
That sounds like you were trying desperately to recall a dream.
Yeah.
What a
Do you remember Ace Lightning?
I remember it all too well. You don't remember? Yeah. Cass, you don't remember Ace Lightning?
I don't. What
no,
is
this
it?
Was like Monday afternoons. Yeah. There's a British kid, but he's in America. He plays soccer. But he calls it football because he's British. Also, there's an abandoned carnival in this town. And there's a video game character called Ace Lightning that comes to life. And all the characters come to life, including the villains, who inhabit the abandoned carnival in town.
Yeah.
Which sometimes isn't abandoned, but mostly is abandoned.
Yeah.
And all of the villains who live at the carnival are, like, carnival-themed.
Yeah.
And they try to do things, but the kid is like buds with Ace Lightning, and Ace Lightning, and there's this guy who's got a virus, so sometimes he's good and sometimes he's bad. It's very dramatic.
It's great. There's a girl, Ace Lightning, whose name I can't recall.
She had one, but I don't, yeah.
Yeah, she definitely was named, we can guarantee you that.
Well, that's great. I love women in film.
Yeah, when a woman is named in a TV show or a film, that's progress. I remember in Ace Lightning that the one thing that always sticks in my mind, I think it's in the first episode. So Ace Lightning gets sucked out of his video game. And so he's like, oh no, I'm in the real world. And the British teenager, he's in America. And there's like a long montage to like a kind of early 2000s, like kind of maybe Blink-182-esque band, sort of like piece of music. And it's Ace Lightning being really upset that he can't go back to his video game, and the kid being really upset that he can't go back to Britain. So it's like, and then the kid's like looking at pictures of like Big Ben or whatever, and Ace Lightning is like, oh, and like leaning up against a wall because he misses being in a video game.
I don't remember.
It's so funny. Kid, those two things are not comparable. Ace Lightning is in the real world. You just like miss home.
You can visit there.
You can just take a plane.
I don't know why I get the feeling that it only had two seasons.
Yeah,
but I think, really distinctly feel that in my soul. Oh, yeah. I'm wrong. It had 4 seasons.
Oh my God. Wow.
I was going to say, from the description, it sounds like...
Sounds like a two-seasoner.
Sounds like a twofer.
Yeah. Well, because I remember, so the evil villain of Ace Lightning is a skeletal man who has a frog on a staff, and the frog, he's got big seize him energy, the skeletal man.
Frog on a staff is good.
Oh, yeah. The frog on the staff had good... You know how, like, if you have 2 goons, you need...
And it had bat wings.
Yeah, it was very cool. Yes. We should all desire to have or be that frog on the staff.
But give this a goog. I want to enjoy
it. It's worthwhile. But you know, like, if you got 2 goons, you need a stupid one and a snivelly one? The frog on the staff was a snivelly one. He was like a very, like, excellent choice, master kind of guy. Which is a good goon to be. I think I'd be that goon.
I'd be good to be a snivelly goon.
Yeah, much better than being a dumb guy goon.
I'd rather be a dumb guy goon.
Oh, you want to be a boss?
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. If I get to reinvent myself as a goon, I want to know nothing.
That's fair, though, because then you've got, like, some level of deniability when your boss is, you know... And maybe He-Man will feel sorry for you, you know?
Oh, no, boss. Dale's so right, because if we're snivelly, it'll be fun to play snivelly character, but then it'll start to hurt, you know, if we keep being snivelly and we are just getting nothing in return.
Well,
Dale's got the right idea. Dale's in there being like, duh. And that's, she gives what she gets, you know?
Can we hear your best duh, Dale?
Duh, I'm the strong one.
Yes!
God, she's perfect.
You nailed that. Oh, my God.
I'm prepped. I'm good to go.
Cass, can I hear from you if you're going snivel? Well, you're going stupid, actually. So can I get a duh good one, boss, from you?
Duh, a good one, boss.
And then I suppose if I'm keeping snivelly, it's got to be like a excellent plan, your excellency. That kind of style.
That's an absolute snivel.
I'm getting flashbacks to Starscream.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think there's someone specifically I'm thinking of, but I can't play. It's maybe a Power Rangers character. Is there a Power Rangers guy that's always like, great idea, Rita Repulsa? I think there is.
He gets replaced later on, but he's like... So you've got Golda, who's kind of like a big tiger monkey with gold wings, right? But there's a second monkey character who's kind of a professor and he's got a monocle.
Yes!
Him. He disappears, but he's there for a while.
I'm the monocle.
Like Finster and stuff.
Yeah.
Is there like a monkey hierarchy?
Yeah. Rita Repulsa has one powerful monkey and one weak monkey. That's how you got to do it. dear me. Are there any other kinds of goons or is it just dumb and snivelly? Surely there's more varieties of goons.
I think there's subsects of goons because, you know, snivelly goons, you get just snivelly and then you get snivelly but planning to overthrow.
Ah, true. Oh, Your grand vizier type goon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's more of like a excellent idea, your majesty. It's like,
you know what I mean?
Your excellency, another wonderful plan. But then like you're like... The plan's working in the Grand Vizier's favor there. Mm. But in the end, nobody wins. He-Man wins, you know, always.
I feel like if you've got, like, your classic goons.
Sure.
Then they have, you've got Snivelly, you've got whatever an unkind himbo is.
Sure.
Then you've got, as soon as anything else starts to take over, they get more lines.
And they're less of a goon.
They become less of a character.
That's true. That's right. I suppose you do have your sort of Foot Clan ninja goons who just don't ever say anything ever.
Very true.
The sheer number of them is all they have. The putties.
Putty patrol, absolutely. Yeah. You're just there to be like, oh, I'd get the shit kicked out of you by the Power Rangers. Brought to life purely to get your stomach kicked by a karate kick.
Yeah.
Man, that's sad. What about this? Maybe this is a hot take, but I think on the good guy's side, you have a variety of goon as well, and that's your Orko or your whatever the Thundercats one that was just an actual cat.
Yes.
Is he called Snagglepuss? You know.
That seems right.
And that's the one that's like, oh, no, He-Man! Like, they got a terrible...
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's another... It's like a good guy goon, because it's still a goon. Still He-Man's bossing that
were
guy
things
around.
Different, they would have fallen to the dark side.
Yeah, exactly. Do you That's true.
Do you think the difference between a good goon and a bad goon in terms of, like, good v. evil is the good goon is always concerned? Like, the good goon lacks the confidence of a bad goon. Like, a bad goon's like, duh, boss, let's, like, I guts this man, I'm going to rolls him. But the good guy goon's like, oh, no, what are we going to do?
True, yes. A good guy goon is maybe a bit more cowardly. They'll run from the fight rather than run to the fight. But I think Dale is right as well, that if Skeletor had got to Orko first, Orko would be working for Skeletor. Orko's got no allegiances whatsoever.
Maybe good cowardly goons and villainous cowardly goons, because they show up, but the villainous snivelly goons who are cowardly are always, they're not scared of the good guy, they're scared of the bad guy still. So they're just exactly the same as the goody goon.
Oh my god, you're right.
Oh, that's true.
There's only two kinds of goons forever.
There are only two
We goons. All fear the bad guy. Well, I suppose, why would you fear the good guy? Because if you're on the good guy's side...
Yeah, like, he's a goody, exactly.
Even if he isn't always winning, like, you know he's going to try and keep you safe as, you know,
Ace Lightning's never going to kill that frog.
No, Ace Lightning is not thinking about that frog. Like, it's not even on his radar, you know?
You can just imagine one of the evil goons like, you're scared in boss, what's he going to do, free me?
Yeah. That's so tragic.
And is there a trope as well of the bad guy getting killed and then the goons being like, like essentially like, you are my dad now?
What, to the good, to the goodies?
Is that a thing that happens, or is that a thing I'm just simply considering? Like, the good guys win, and then the bad guys either scarper or they're like, well, I'll stay.
Yeah, I think you are right. I think that there's this idea that the goons are just looking for an authority figure, whoever that might happen to be.
Did we just rediscover the plot of the Minions movie?
Wow, we did. The Minions are classic goons, but they don't fit into any of our goon tropes. That's interesting.
Or at least I'm going to say it's interesting. All of them.
Yeah.
They have the numbers, they don't really have language, and yet somehow they are both stupid and sniveling.
Yeah, that's true.
Do they fear Gru?
That's a great question.
Let's consider the sniveling aspect. Where's the fear coming in?
Do the Minions fear Gru? I think a classic snivelly goon, there's that, and I'm thinking very specifically here of the frog on a stick or whatever, but he'll be like, oh no, your excellency, the plan failed. And then the skeleton man will whack him and be like, quiet, you bag of amphibian wind or whatever. You know?
Yeah,
and he'll whack him. And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Jackson here interrupting this garbage podcast to tell you about one of SansPants Radio's other garbage podcasts, Plumbing the Death Star, the best podcast you'll ever hear. Me and the two Joels ask dumb questions about pop culture we truly know nothing about, inevitably making you frustrated but also entertained. Look for Plumbing the Death Star wherever podcasts are found. So is there ever a moment where Gru's like, hang on, Gorls, when he's like, quiet, you yellow beans, and kicks them or whatever.
I don't think there is, because they, the movie has to prove he'll be a good dad.
Yeah, that's true. If it opened on him kicking the minions, that's not a good look for Gru. Yeah. That's a very good point. But they are at perfect kicking height, I must admit.
Yeah. Oh my god, they look puntable.
Yeah, now that I've brought it up, I really want to kick
one. I want to kick one really hard.
I just imagine you could get them in the right spot like a football. And and again, obviously I don't want to be mean or hurt a living thing, but imagine the fun noise it would make.
Oh.
Here's a
question. Question about minions. Mm-hmm. So, and this is assumption, and it's just an assumption I realized I've made, and I just want to see if you've got the same assumption. Soft, middle, but on the top of the head and on the bottom of the bean, hard, tough like a football. Right?
No,
right?
I imagine that the outside is like firm but still malleable. So like if you kicked, it would like not be as soft as a pillow, but maybe something made of like a gel.
Okay.
And the middle's a bit tougher. So as you kick it, your foot might have a couple of inches of like entry
of give, yeah,
of give, and then it'll go flying. Your foot doesn't hit something hard; it's just it gets tougher as the center.
Oh,
as it goes toward the center.
That's that is interesting take.
When I imagine kicking a minion,
that's the feeling you envision.
Yes.
What about you, Dale? What are you picturing?
I'm thinking soft all the way through, but. Like a weighty softness.
Mm. Okay.
You know, like
a medicine ball kind of.
No, not at all like a medicine ball.
Those pillows, memory foam. Do you mean like memory foam?
Yeah, a bit like memory foam. I'm imagining exactly the sensation of in the first Fable game when you can kick chickens.
Oh, I know the kind of weighty you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's soft, but it's got enough behind it that you could like get some flight.
Yeah, you could get some air, some distance with a minion.
That like sweet spot of weight where the weight is enough that you can easily lift it, but it means that it goes the distance. It doesn't just float. Yes. You're like, I could throw this at something. And it might bounce. It might not be heavy enough to sort of splat, but
But it'll get them. Okay, second question vis-a-vis the minions. Mm-hmm. To the touch, does it feel like human skin?
No.
No. You're no rule, Dale. No, no. Don't be an idiot. No.
It's because I was so upset.
Yeah, I heard fear and sadness in that no.
I gotta look up a minion to see what they look like.
To me, that no sounded like, how dare you? Yeah. I have joined you today as an act of good faith, and you come to me with what do you think a minion's skin is like. That's just violence.
Yeah, it is.
I imagine it's firm skin, like maybe a pig, but really smooth, like no hair.
Yeah, but they have hair on the top of their head.
They can have those ones.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
But like, if I touch and grab the body, it's like when you've just shaved your leg.
I keep imagining, like, you know how a puppy feels? That maybe they'd feel like that.
I'm like so the smooth.
But that's. Well, you have had some time to think.
That's why it's so upsetting is that now I have to answer. Like, I've had to consider this. What does a minion's skin feel like? And it's upsetting because I have an answer. I think it would feel like, you know, when you get the really sort of the deep squishy foam of like outdoor lounges, right?
Oh, yeah.
But with the covering. So it's got that extra layer of like.
So like
it feels almost like a separate thing.
Yeah.
So you mean like when you're pushing down on a pillow and you can feel that the top layer and what's inside are not attached.
Yes, exactly that. See what you've done?
Yeah, I see why you were so upset. Yeah, now that's completely fair. I am equally upset. I don't like to think of the minions as having more than... I want to assume that if I cut one in half, it would be like cutting a banana in half, you know?
Yeah.
Just solid all the way through. Imagining there's guts in there is upsetting. It's so bad. Minions are gross.
I thought you were going to say, I don't like to imagine that minions have skin.
Yeah.
Jackson's thinking of something a lot worse.
Tofu.
Oh, yes.
Whoa, this changes
You're
a lot.
You're right.
What if their skin felt like the smoothest banana skin?
Oh, yeah. No, I could see that.
What if
the skin
was tougher than the inside? We haven't considered banana minions. Maybe that's why they like banana so much.
Banana, they do say that.
Mm. Right. Yes. I would love it if they were made of, like, halloumi. And they made that squeaky noise. Yeah.
So if you were to take down a minion with a katana, it would squeak.
Slice it in half. As the two halves slide off each other.
Wow.
The top half looks at the bottom half and screams, and then the legs start running. Yeah. I think that would suit a minion.
That would be in the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Are the minions clones?
I don't know what. Well, if we were to take the minions movie as canon, the minions have always been around. Ever since the beginning of time, and they naturally gravitate towards bad people to do their bidding. And they've done that throughout history to history's worst leaders, except Adolf Hitler, because they were frozen during World War II, is a point they make, because they don't
want
to...
Nazi minions.
Yeah, but in doing that, they say that if they weren't frozen...
They absolutely would have been there.
They would have been Nazis, guaranteed.
Oh my
but
God.
It just
the
so
only
happens
reason the Germans didn't win.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine you're on the front lines, World War II, and you hear, banana. Oh my God.
The whole time Hitler's like, something's missing.
If only I had some little yellow guys that feel like bananas, that's how I would win this war.
No. But yeah, so the magic research department.
Yeah, exactly. Getting the whatever they were called. Don't look for evidence of Aryan ancestry or whatever. You got to find me the minions. That's what Hitler wanted.
I don't want the Holy Grail.
Yeah, I don't need it.
I don't want.
Don't
it.
Get me the Spear of Longinus. No.
Maybe searching for all the artifacts was like, well, this'll alert them.
Yeah, this'll wake up the minions. I need to get Hank something. I don't know. The minions have names. I can't remember their names.
They have names?
Yeah, the three main minions have names. I'll find
them
out for you.
Do they also have voice actors?
I don't know. Minions. Fine. Here we go. Let's find out. Let's learn who. I'm going to go to the Minions movie IMDb. We'll be able to answer
tuned into
both
this
questions.
Because they were like, man, I really just want to hear about belly buttons. And instead, they're getting...
They're getting
well, hello
minions
there.
Deep dive.
Very valuable minions discourse.
Yeah, did you anticipate this getting worse?
Yeah.
Surprise!
None of these. Okay. Well, Pierre Coffin voiced all the minions, so Pierre Coffin.
He directed it.
The man, the legend. Well, he also voiced the minions,
That's
so there
amazing.
You go. Kevin, Stewart, and Bob are the names of the three main minions.
Choice.
So, those are the guys. Kevin, Stewart, and Bob. But what's notable about that is that the minions have been here since the beginning of time. So that means that if your name is Kevin, Stewart, or Bob, you were named after the minions, no matter what. That's how they got that name into public discourse.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So they don't breed, they've just existed forever. So it's the
These
same minions.
Three minions specifically, and then presumably the rest of the minions, they evolved from yellow single-celled organisms into beings which only serve history's most evil masters.
Do they multiply? Do they not die? Can they not die, or is this like a cellular mitosis kind of a situation?
Oh, that is a good theory.
In which case, clones.
Yeah, you were right.
Yeah.
How do your minions make other minions? What's the go there?
Well, Stuart,
here we go.
And Kevin love each other very much.
Okay. They get together and make brand new tiered minions. Oh, no. I don't know where I am. I got to get out of here. You know, sometimes you dive too, like the dwarves dig in too deep.
Too greedily, too deep.
Yeah, this is my Balrog right here. I can't handle it.
I can't believe I'm going to have in my Google search history Minions Wiki.
Yeah, you got to find out.
You got to know. Yeah, I tried to Google before. I Googled, yeah, is Gru mean to the Minions, but I couldn't find anything.
Googling how do they make more Minions does not help me.
I love it whenever I'm pushed to Google in the form of a question.
Yeah.
Like we're back in the early 2000s and you're just like, ask Jeeves. Hello, Jeeves. I would like to know. Yeah.
Excuse me, Google. Sorry to bother. Yeah. I was just wondering if you know, and no pressure if you don't.
Yeah, but if you don't know the answer, that's okay.
Do you know if Gru is mean to the Minions?
If you could please let me know, that would be great. Thanks anyway. Yeah.
Much love. Shut up a second. We do kind of do that again, though, if you have like a Google Home or whatever, because you're kind of being like, okay, Google, what's the this? And then she'll just like play a song or whatever because she doesn't know what the hell you're saying. The other day I was asking her for like, shut up. Sorry, Google actually heard. My phone Google listened. The other day I was asking my Google Home, I was trying to get some British dishes because I was thinking about like spotted dick and like scotch eggs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow, yuck. So I was trying to think of like other ones. But every time I asked Google, Google would tell me they were giving me a recipe. But then I'm like, they're like, oh, okay, here's a recipe called Top 10 British Dishes. And I'm like, what? And then she's like, would you like to hear the ingredients or how to make it? And I was like, the ingredients? And she was like, first, pick your favorite British dish. And then I'd had enough and I told her to be quiet. I was like, what are you saying, Google?
How was she able to pick up so much to get it so wrong? Like, there's so many things that she would have had to have done and so many...
Yeah.
Paths of knowledge that they would have had to program in.
Yeah, that she filtered through to give me the most meaningless answer possibly ever.
I'll write you a shopping list. The shopping list is now on your phone. Please go to Woolworths and purchase what is your favorite meal.
Jackson, you haven't left the home yet. Please,
I'm sorry, Google.
Go to Woolworths.
I don't call my Google Google anymore. Like, I call it Goo-Goo. And what I'm trying to do is teach her to see how far away from Google I can get it.
So
if I say, okay, Goo-Goo, and she responds, then maybe I can say, okay, Googie, okay, Gooey, okay, Booey, okay, Bowie. She listened. She heard. It's working.
I wonder if it's kind of like, I assume Google and stuff use Furby technology where they learn your voice. So if you start with Goo-Goo for like a month and then are you doing month at a time? Are you doing incremental changes?
I will admit, Cass, there's not much of a system.
Okay. That's okay. Because it does seem like you've managed to get pretty far with no system.
No plan whatsoever. I don't know why this reminded me of this. This is a blast from my teenage years. I had a long-term plan. I was like, I want to get a big parrot, right?
Okay.
Yes.
Scary-looking parrot.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I want to train it to hunt mice. And everyone was like, you can't train a parrot to hunt mice. They don't eat meat. And I was like, just you wait. I'll start by feeding it nuts and berries.
Okay, cool. Yeah, great.
And then I'll get those little mice that you feed to pet snakes. I'll house the nuts and berries inside the mouse.
Oh my God.
And it'll have to eat out of the mouse carcass. And then I'll put the nuts and berries inside the mouse, but I'll sew up the mouse. Right, this is a long-term
plan. Yep.
And so now it hunts mice and I can use it to scare the neighborhood children.
That
was the
is
plan.
A brilliant plan.
That is good.
And you have
the
benefit.
I was going to name it Scrooge.
Yeah. That's an awesome name for a parrot.
Can I ask, is there a reason you wanted a parrot instead of like an owl or something that does eat and hunt mice?
Honestly, no. I want to say, in my head, it looks like I don't know if you ever watched hit film, Way Back, A Dinosaur Story.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah. The villain from that movie, Screw Eye, has an evil like crow that hangs out with him, but then at the end, his crows eat him and all that's left is the screw that was his eye. But I was picturing that, but it's a macaw parrot.
That's cool.
I was also picturing a macaw, like a big blue one.
You get it.
Yeah.
I think as well a macaw has, like, the energy, like, it should eat mice. Like, whether or not it's supposed to or it'll be bad for it, you see a macaw and you're like, come on, look at those claws.
Oh, absolutely.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Its beak is definitely not death-shaped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True. It might struggle somewhat, but in the end, absolutely worth it.
Anytime I see a parrot, I think, do our cockatoos and stuff count as parrots?
Yeah, I think they're
parrots, I think, yeah.
So cockatoos have apparently the mental capacity of a toddler.
Okay.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah. That's exactly my thought. It's not good. I hate it. And whenever I see a cockatoo or something, because you see those videos of cockatoos like knocking toys over and then just screaming into a cup, which is great. But I always think
it's really good.
Like, is that torture to be permanently? Because I look at a parrot and I think you are a toddler who is stuck in the body of a parrot and you can't age.
But I don't know whether can't age. Oh right,
mentally.
Like, parrots age, Kaz. But imagine this, if you found a toddler and you were like, do you want to be a parrot? I bet a lot would say yes. So maybe it's not a torture, maybe it's paradise.
That actually made me feel a lot better.
Turned into a cat by an evil magician. Do you remember this?
Oh, yes.
There's an evil magician and the kid gets turned into a cat and he's like trying to, and there's like, his body is inhabited by the cat that he has swapped places with or whatever. And
it was called... Oh, yeah. What, Billy the Cat or
Billy
something?
Billy the Cat, that's it.
Gosh.
That's it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the series, he's stuck as a cat forever.
Oh,
that's
my God.
The end of the show.
That's so intense.
What is that meant to teach a child?
I don't know. Don't piss off magicians, I guess.
That's insane.
Oh, my God.
It's a magician and not a wizard.
Here's this line from the Wicked...
girl cat, anyway.
Oh, that's...
It's very weird.
You've too far gone
you
at that point.
That,
then. You can't
Billy.
You can't turn back then.
Yeah, you might as well stay a cat. Here's an intense line from the Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. No matter how much he begged during the series, Billy was never turned back into the boy he used to be. That's so intense.
Oh, I love
so
that.
Disturbing.
That's horrible.
Also, the magician, isn't the cat that inhabits his body. That's just a cat named Dandelion. But the cat's like, okay, I am Billy. Like, that's just like... just unrelated. The cat is like, yes, I will be a human boy from now on. Oh my God.
But he
Why
spends
did the
some
magician...
of his time hunting mice.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Oof. I'd completely forgotten about this show until you brought it up. There were two seasons. God
two
damn.
Two whole seasons?
That's a lot.
And he
That's
never
a lot
gets
more than
to
I thought.
Be a human again?
He never gets to be a boy.
That's like premeditated. They were out to scar children.
They were like, we won't change him back. He's going to learn how to take his lumps
Live
and accept
on the
his
streets.
Lots.
Yeah.
Wow. And also, a cat has a much shorter lifespan, so they've committed to killing that boy young, you know? And the cat, on the other hand, will live to the ripe old age of 60 or 70.
Do you think
so,
the cat's mind will rot because it wasn't... That's too much for it?
I think it'll be like, you know, like when somebody gets made immortal? That's kind of what's happened to the cat, you know? Mm. They'll stop seeing other cats as real beings anymore, you know?
Oh, okay. You mean other people
start drinking their blood.
Yeah, exactly.
I really hope that that's the case. My cat is 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
She's very, very old. And it's super weird. She just, like, it's like she didn't age until around the 17-year mark.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
She just still behaved like a kitten that whole time. Mm. And then at 17, she started aging very quickly. And now she definitely, definitely has kitty cat dementia. But like, you know, we feel like she must be perfectly happy because she doesn't have the level of confusion. You know, there's not that, you don't have enough communication with your cat. So she's just like she's wandering into corners and things, and we're like, yeah, that's weird, why are you doing that? But she seems perfectly fine and happy.
But if
she was in a human body, then it's
true.
Dangerous. So if Billy hits 20 years old and he has kitty cat dementia, that's a tragedy.
Poor Billy the human. But then I guess Billy the cat will be a very alert cat when he hits 20. Wow, it's truly The grim implications of the Billy the Cat cartoon.
Has the magician done it before? Like, does he just wander around doing this?
It's like the ultimate, because it's not obviously evil until both hit 20. Well, I mean, okay, it is obviously evil.
For sure, it doesn't get sinister.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, that's a guy doing bad things. But maybe that's why they had to cut it off at season two. The writers started being like, hey, so we thought about this some more. And the producer's like, no. No more thinking about this. We're ending the series.
Hey, I just had like a thought about our Billy the Cat series. Is it fucked? Did we just make a fucked up show?
The producer's accidentally? Like, no, it's so fun. Yeah. It's so fun. It's like a boy who's in a cat's body. So he's climbing trees and I
just think our decision to make it that he never becomes a boy again. And like, I get that if he did, we'd have to end the series, but it just seems like that's a kind of living hell that we've put this boy in.
Oh, but it'll teach kids that, you know, sometimes you don't get what you want. And
don't piss off magicians, which is an important lesson.
We can't actually have them trust magicians, of course. That's not a safe thing for us to be teaching the young ones.
That is true.
Someone in the writer's room was just like, they watched that Tim Allen movie where he turns into the Shaggy Dog. They were like, oh no, we misunderstood. They meant to turn back. Oh no, we gotta cut this
God
up.
Oh, god damn.
The original writer's room, they're like, okay, so we found out a way to end the series. We kill the magician. The magician gets his comeuppance. The child loses all hope of ever turning back. They're like, ooh, gonna stop you there. It does actually sound a bit grim.
Bit of a downer.
Yeah. Do you know how the kids are going to deal with death and teaching them that death is a fair repercussion for someone making a decision? Maybe not where we want to go. It's like, well, fine. The kid's just going to stay in the body then. Are you happy?
No.
I'm not happy, actually. I'm really not.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Cass.
I've been Dale.
Dale, where can people find you?
People can find me on YouTube at Monarchs Factory, and they can find me on Twitter at Daily Dale. But sometimes the easiest way to find me anywhere is just to type Dale Kingsmill into Google.
Oh,
trust Google.
Beautiful.
God, that's cool. You're Googleable. You're Googleable.
You're Googleable.
The name Dale Kingsmill kind of lends itself to, no extraneous search results.
Bye.
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 Hey, dickhead. Do you want more Sans Pants in your life? Well, good news. There are currently 26 Sans Pants Radio podcasts available right now, free to the public. And if you want to splash a bit of coin, we have a further 20 bonus shows and bonus fees for you to sink your ears into. That's 46 shows! Head to sanspantsradio.com to check them out now. That's sanspantsradio.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.